Blog Talk Radio.
This one, as the rain continues to fall, and Bradley Wright Phillips, he was offside. He'll get to this. Bradley Wright Phillips now, dealing with Brignac. Gets a shot on Osten. Trying to make the save, but it's in the back of the net. And Bradley Wright Phillips, for number 99, that's 100. And he's got the 100 jersey. 100th career Major League Soccer goal.
We'll play it in. Kaku. Good ball, finds Wright Phillips. Bradley Wright Phillips with the flag down, shooting, he scores, and there it is! Goal number 100 went right through Osten, and Wright Phillips, ready for the occasion, has given the Red Bulls the lead, and dressed in the proper attire.
Dave Johnson covering DC United on the local television, Steve Cangelosi on MSG Network. Last night at Audi Field, the brand new Audi Field, Bradley Wright Phillips took no time to bury the ball into the back of the net, and for the first time ever, a player, a striker in Major League Soccer has reached 100 goals in MLS league play faster than anybody else that has scored at least 100 or more goals. Taylor Twellman was at 173 games when he scored his 100th league goal. He is now the second fastest to that mark. The long list of Chris Wondolowski, Ante Razov, Landon Donovan, Jaime Moreno, Jason Kreiss, Jeff Cunningham, Kai Kamara, Dwayne De Rosario, and Edson Buttle. Between 173 games till 318, Bradley Wright Phillips, on Wednesday night, July the 25th in 2018 of this year, at Audi Field, did it in 159. What an amazing accomplishment Bradley Wright Phillips has done as a member of the New York Red Bulls and in a player as a footballer in the United States and Canada for Major League Soccer. This Englishman with heritage of Ian Wright, the former Arsenal legend, his brother, the older brother, Sean Wright Phillips, who has done many things for Manchester City and Chelsea, for the English national team, and of course coming over for his younger brother's wedding, and then of course now playing in the United Soccer Leagues with Phoenix Rising FC in Phoenix, Arizona. Bradley Wright Phillips, ever since he came over on a trial and when he began his run towards the end of 2012 with a regular season goal at the Houston Dynamo at BBVA Compass Stadium and then a playoff goal in the second leg of the semifinal conference matchup at Red Bull Arena. From that point on, he's been on target. He has been scoring. Yes, he did tie the league record for most goals in the season with Chris Wondolowski and, of course, Roy Lassiter. And since then, it has been a tremendous run for BWP. Bradley Wright Phillips has just been sensational. Bradley Wright Phillips has been phenomenal. Yes, Thierry Henry was there for the start of Bradley Wright Phillips' tenure with the New York Red Bulls. And then after the 2013 season. Actually, it started in 2013, excuse me. Then after the 2013 Shield winning season, Bradley Wright Phillips in 2014 goes on a tear, almost getting the Red Bulls into the MLS Cup final with a snag, unfortunately, against the New England Revolution. In the regular season, he's been on a scoring tear. He's been putting in hat tricks, braces. He's been doing everything and anything that has been in front of him. And it all came full circle last night. Since New York City FC has been involved in MLS, he has scored 11 goals against them. The most goals against an opponent in this league. Before then, whenever he saw orange, Houston Dynamo orange, he let them have it too. 7 goals, precisely, for the Houston Dynamo until New York City FC came over and were now the brand new whipping boys of Bradley Wright Phillips' career. 4 braces, whipping. Brace and a hat trick against Toronto. A hat trick against Chicago. Brace and a hat trick against Houston. Braces against Philly, D.C., Montreal. A brace and a penalty conversion for Sporting Kansas City. A hat trick against Seattle. Brace against Minnesota United, and then another brace for his first 2 goals against Atlanta United FC. And he has yet faced Los Angeles FC, as he will do so at the beginning of August. But the point is this. He has scored 100 league goals in MLS, 118 in all competitions, 9 in the playoffs, 4 in the CONCACAF Champions League, including the 3 in this past edition, and then, of course, 5 in the U.S. Open Cup, including 4 out of the 5 in the run last year to that final. Bradley Wright Phillips right now has been probably the most consistent goal scorer this club has ever had, regardless of the amount of talent they have had in the past. Giovanni Savarese, Clint Mathis, Juan Pablo Angel, and of course, Thierry Henry. Thierry Henry getting to 50. And it was, of course, Bradley Wright Phillips getting past 50. Out of all of the goal scorers that were on this side, none of them reached the 20-goal plateau, even though Juan Pablo Angel was close with 1 goal to go because he had 19 in his opening year in MLS. Bradley Wright Phillips has reached 20 or more goals in his year twice in his soon-to-be 5.5-year career with the New York Red Bulls. 27 back in 2014 to tie the record, 24 for that golden boot in 2016. This is a man, not only does he get great assists from his teammates, but he can put the ball into the back of the net all by himself. And when he had the yips at the penalty spot, he's like, that's fine. I don't need the spot. Just give me a great ball and I will find a way to put it into the back of the net. This run for Bradley Wright Phillips has just been absolutely phenomenal. And for those of us that are lucky enough to watch a striker like him come out of nowhere, has just been absolutely incredible. We are going to talk about the win over DC, but we must talk about the man first, and that is Bradley Wright Phillips. Whoop. Let's see here. Maybe we can get my special guest on. Let's see if we wait and see what's going to happen here. And let's see if he has picked up the phone, because my special guest tonight, of course, he is the head of the New York Rebels discussion group on Facebook, and he's been hanging around the USL kids this entire season and last. The one and only, my good friend, Gary Redmond's joining me right now to talk about this amazing feat. Gary, welcome to the show for the first time, but still, though, Gary, what an amazing night in our nation's capital at the brand new Audi Field as Bradley Wright Phillips took care of business 1-2-3 and becomes the fastest player in Major League Soccer history to grab a century of goals. And he does it with the New York Red Bulls.
Thank you so much for having me. Good evening. Yeah, it was definitely a night. You couldn't have scripted any better than that. The second home game ever in their first new, and you know, of their new stadium, and one goal away from history, and the traveling support didn't wait long to witness it. 4 minutes in, I was recovering from surgery when I saw it all go down, and I was basically banging my fist on the bed, and the nurses wanted to know if I was having seizures or anything else. But nope, I just witnessed something that was incredible from a player that I admire both as a player and as a man. He's a very great gentleman. So hats off to him. Well done. Fastest player in MLS history to get the bag 100 goals. And he's not done, as far as I'm concerned. He's still probably having 50 more when it's all said and done. But I don't think you're going to get any argument that he is, pound for pound, one of the best players that's ever wore the shirt. And should he follow that feat up with a championship, they should erect a statue in his honor in front of RBA. You agree?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Let me tell you something. You know, it's an honor to be, you know, in his presence, because you know how humble of a man he is. Sure.
Yes.
He, you know, he wants to go out and fight. He wants to go out there and battle. He wants to go out there and make sure he's in the right position whenever he gets a ball. It doesn't matter who it was. Thierry Henry, Sasha Kljestan, Mike Grella, Kaku now with Alejandro Romero Gamara. He always wants to be in front of the net, and he always wants to put the ball into the back of the net and find a way to help this club get to a championship. At the same time, 3 points to any way he can get to it, and he's just been sensational.
You just mentioned those players with the exception of Mike Grella. Think about it. Thierry Henry, he was an assist leader when those two were the combo. Then you follow that up with Sasha Kljestan. He was an assist leader 2 years in a row when he and BWP were a combo. Now, Kaku has filled that mold. People thought that, can he work with BWP? I think our questions have been answered quite emphatically. Thank you very much. Now, he's an assist leader within the league. And, you know, it all depends on the terrific partnership between the person serving the meal and someone eating the meal to our benefit. And we've been enjoying this season thus far. The real question is, of course, when the season is done and they're in playoff mode, can that magic continue? And I don't think I need to tell you that, as for all the accolades that this team, for all the excitement that this team is generating within the fan base, and all the great stuff that we've seen, they still have to show me if they can get over that hump. Get over that hump to see if they're truly championship contenders. But we'll have to see when we get there, won't we?
No, we will. And that's going to be the biggest question right there, because we need to know what will happen when they finally reach that final. I mean, there's been those 2 years, 2013, 2014. Excuse me, I should say 2014-2015, they got close enough to the conference final, the second leg, and then just were basically a goal behind in the, getting to the MLS Cup final. And now, you know, you wonder, does this club, besides Bradley Wright Phillips, because I think we can be honest with ourselves here, Bradley has done enough, I think, to, you know, try and will his side into a run. But the question is, will the rest of them will themselves as well? And sadly, Bradley's a part of that too. But at the same time, though, he has bagged his own share of goals.
Correct. For those that complain that, hey, he doesn't create his own shot, give me a reason why defenses double up on him all the time, every time. It's because leaving him alone with the ball, not a very good idea if you're on the defensive side. He can cause some damage by himself. Now you add the assist and a playmaker like Kaku in the lineup, and those two, when they get together, it's just fun to watch. The goals are almost to the point where they're imminent, and they come in great time when the team needs it and when they need to put the team away. This is a I won't go so far to say that this is a special season, not quite yet. I'll go back to what I said about proving me about winning games against teams that they should beat. All accolades aside, DC United is a bad team. Three wins out of 18 is not good. Coming into their, where the rest of the season they're going to be playing at home. Seeing them win 1-0 on the road against one of your biggest rivals should warm the cackles of the hearts of the supporters. But let's see if they follow that, those road wins down the road. And they're going to be some big ones if you look at the schedule. We still have to face off against Columbus, another up-and-coming side. Then we got NYCFC back on the road in the Bronx, and then LAFC, and they've been drawing a lot of eyeballs for the rest of the league as an expansion side. If we get past any of those three games in a positive, at least 9 points, to talk about possibly winning the Shield and possibly grabbing that number one seed in the East, should be realistic at that point. I've said way in the beginning of the season before this started, the question I asked the entire group, yes, we're assembling a team that can compete in the East, but can we win the East? If they continue with results like this, I think they're going to answer the question in the affirmative.
There's going to be a lot of questions answered, that's for sure. If this side does go forward in a big way, and who knows, maybe it is Bradley Wright Phillips. And, when you're taking a look at the standings right now, Gary, in the Eastern Conference, at the moment, the Red Bulls are currently in second place, ahead of New York City FC by a point. They are playing tonight at 8 o'clock down in Orlando, and we'll see what happens if Orlando City does.
A game which we're all going to be watching.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. But at the particular point in time, at the moment, the Red Bulls are, even on games played right now with New York City FC, Atlanta United, Red Bulls have 2 games in hand. And if you look at the points per game stats, the Red
They're
Bulls are
one.
Ahead by .05.
Yep, number one. They're as far as points per games, they're number one in the league. So obviously they're doing something right. As much as I like to say that there's nothing to complain about as far as how the team is going, especially since the coaching change, which we all thought that maybe the I felt that there wasn't going to be very much of a difference between the two. Maybe the difference in philosophies, yes, but as far as how the team is going to operate through the season, I didn't see there was going to be that much of an issue. If you take away the NYCFC game, take away that loss, they've been chugging along just fine, thank you very much. But looking ahead of the schedule, there's some choice games ahead of themselves, and let's see if they can handle those squads. There, before we can pass any judgment of whether or not that Armas fits the bill. I personally think he can and will with the team that he's been inherited with. I don't see an issue here. Maybe he's put in a little philosophy, but the high press that the team employs can be used as a weapon that you can put in your back pocket, especially if you're facing squads that are not fitted in, that is not as fit as you, that you can say, you know what? I'm going to open this up, this game up a little bit and see what happens. And then we've seen it happen a couple of times already this season under Armas. I really think that going ahead, this is going to be one of the most fun seasons we ever had in Red Bull history. And only the only question is, will it end with this team raising the cup in December?
That will be the number one question, as always, on every other – I shouldn't say every other, but every supporter of this club going forward. And hopefully for Red Bull supporters, or the old Metro Stars as well, that maybe this will be the one that not only puts them over the hump in the trophy case, but I think everyone is looking to see whether they can catch up, take over the shield, and, of course that CONCACAF Champions League spot, Red Bull fans want to see them back in there for next year, obviously, and that's going to be a big, big challenge to see who, if they will take one of those two spots, either the best of two records situation or winning MLS Cup outright.
Correct. I mean, when you go back to the CCL that we've had earlier this year, fans are a little still sore. It's still a sore subject amongst the fans and, of course, the people in the discussion group, considering the fact that we were so close to going ahead in the final, thinking that we were the better team, but you left your number one weapon on the bench. I don't think, because of that, I don't think the fans are going to be truly satisfied until they wind up in the final in the MLS Cup to get over that. They're still going to look at that as a dark mark, as I said that back then. It's going to sting for a while until we get some noticeable victories down the road, especially in the playoffs. When you look at ahead of schedule, you have an opportunity to do that. As far as getting a supporter shield, this is just my opinion. No one else's, just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. Getting a third supporter shield is nice. But I think that this team and this fan base has gotten over that because we've already won two. We're hunting for big game here. We want to see something bigger and better. We want the cup. We want the trophy that puts a star over that crest. And until that happens, this fan base, small as it may be, loyal as it may be, are never going to be satisfied until that happens. Like I said, this is my opinion. It can be repeated by 100 people. But the temperature that I get from everyone in the fan base, especially in the discussion group, yeah, having a supporter shield is great. It's something to get your hands on, something to point up to the rafters. But you know what would be better than point up to the rafters? A banner that says MLS Cup Champions. To me, that will mean that we have finally arrived, and with everything that we've done in the as far as the youth movement, the training center, the academy, everything. It has to come to a head. That's the mark that a lot of people will judge this team as being either one of many or the one and only. I've said it 1,000 times. Teams win at home, great teams win, period. We're not a great team yet until we can prove that we can get over that little bugaboo in the playoffs, do so well in the regular season, disappear in the playoffs, and get the big prize. And to a lot of fans who felt gravely disappointed during the CCL run, followed that up with a very short U.S. Open Cup run, they want the big prize. And they're not going to feel any bit of satisfaction until that happens, especially after 22
seasons. And I don't blame them.
coming close or mm-hmm. not coming anywhere close at all. I'm sure that you have your people on Once a Metro. They'll say the same thing. They want the Cup.
Yes.
They want it.
No, absolutely. You are correct about that. And you know what? If they can finally break the jinx, get over the hump, fix the bugaboo, then obviously everything will fall into place and they'll finally get their first Cup championship of any kind. And I know there'll be a party up and down Frankie Rogers Boulevard and any other parts of Manhattan, the Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn, Staten Island. I know you'll probably be doing some sort of a dance over in Harlem, and that's fine by me. And we'll see what happens when this Red Bull side, hopefully they will finally, excuse me, pardon me, they'll finally get that elusive championship that this side hasn't seen in a first division league since the original Cosmos back in the late 70s and early 80s, that's for sure.
I agree. Quick question to you. Now, as I say, it's time for me to interview the interviewer. You were over in Audi Field, last night. What is your assessment of the facility when you were there?
I will say this about Audi Field. Audi Field, while it's a nice compilation of mishmash, the way the seats have been created and everything, from inside, it looks really nice. The field, amazingly brand new, can handle a huge rainstorm. So no puddles on the pitch at all. You know, that was one of the issues with RFK, of course, when there's a big rainstorm coming. Yeah, yep, the drainage was terrible. You could see like maybe 4 to 5 puddles on the field. So other than that, I can say that the facility looks really nice. There's still a few things not ready yet, or shall I say that's not – I guess certain bells and whistles are not finished yet. But the one thing I love about that place is that the locker rooms are in the ground. They're under the building. And when they take the stairs to go upstairs and walk out on the pitch – unlike Dick's Sporting Goods Park, that they got that clubhouse on one end of the stadium and they all go down the stairs.
Yeah,
this one, you got to go up the stairs from the ground.
That's sweet.
Coming from hell. Yes. So that's like, okay, it's technically not RFK, but it is in a certain way RFK because, you know, they had to go into the old dugout entrance so that they can go towards the field and everything. So I think they kind of kept that as a, you know, tradition, moving from RFK to Audi Field. But I will say this. I am very disappointed. I did not see a raccoon house on the pitch.
No, I mean, I think some things just need to be left behind. They're trying to get over that moniker. Looking at the landscape of Major League Soccer as far as stadiums are concerned, the only thing that I would say other than the fact that I still hate D.C., welcome to the soccer-specific stadium. It's about time. That,
oh, absolutely.
To me, that franchise should have had one decades ago. But case in point, you see when politics get involved, how stadium construction, unless you're the NFL, really doesn't happen so quick. And I dearly hope the folks in NYCFC are taking note that people thought that they were going to have a stadium 2.5 years by now. It's not that simple, and it's not that easy, especially where you're in a city where real estate trumps sports stadiums. Unless you're using like eminent domain, which I, as a New York City resident, I dearly hope they don't use, that they will not be looked at very favorably if they tried something like that. All that's left now is, let's see, who still needs a stadium? Them And
New England.
Right. New England isn't going anywhere, unfortunately. The owner of the Patriots, Kraft, he spent a lot of money in that area. He basically built a shopping mall, an entertainment center near where the stadium is called Patriot Place. I've been there. It's fantastic. Absolutely ridiculously fantastic. So the Revs are going to be there for the foreseeable future. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. NYCFC, they're running out of time and they're running out of real estate very quickly. They need to find a space, but trying to squeeze in this facility just three blocks from Yankee Stadium,
Which
you and I know that
you know as well
rare.
As I
yeah.
do. Exactly. that, well, wow. You know as well as I do, there's no way there's room over there. Absolutely not.
No. You're gonna demolish not one but two outgoing exits of the Deegan to do it? Nah. No. That's a big fat no. The city council will have something to say about that. But overall, the health of the league is strong. When you have franchises building their own arenas, LAFC, and now DC United, Cincinnati's coming in to play with their new stadium a year or two after they enter into the league. Nashville, I understand that the shovel's in the ground from their facility about maybe a year after they come in into the league. And then there's Miami. There's the on-again, off-again saga of whether or not that there's going to be a stadium for them. I'll believe it when shovels are in the ground. To those, if you remember, maybe 15 years ago, folks were taking bets about the demise of Major League Soccer. Major League Soccer, for all its quirks and all of its bad points, and I'd be lying to you if there need to be mechanisms in place like, you know, higher salaries for players, maybe some sort of limited version of pro rel. That's a discussion for another time. But Audi Field should prove as another testament to the health of the league. What say you?
Yes. I mean, you know, pro rel can come somewhere down the road. And, you know, let me just say this. I've always said this. I don't know if you've heard me say it, Gary. Pro rel is a mechanism that while I do and hope for to come to American soccer, right now, the issue is not pro rel. The issue is stadiums. The issue
yes.
is development.
Yes.
Developing players. That's
yes.
those are the two and so many more issues that we have in this country before we can ever entertain the idea of promotion and relegation. That is not the most needed thing right now. While I still
no.
agree it has to come, right now that's not the most important thing. I don't know if you've seen the photos or the videos of Lockhart Stadium in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, the former home of the Fort Lauderdale Strikers. That
I
is
have.
A travesty. That is a travesty. It looks like a Wild West TV show, movie, that was just grown in South Florida.
Right.
What used to be called a pitch.
Yes.
So
those who are a proponent in pro rel point to that is a reason why it must happen, and I somewhat disagree. Pro rel isn't going to solve the problem of bad ownership. You're going to have bad ownership no matter what level of professional soccer that you're in. And in that case, it would be nothing more than a placebo. They'll be in the top flight for about a season or two until they wind up in last place once again and out. Thinking back over in England, there are a lot of teams that try to keep up with the big boys, try to outspend their more richer and their more established teams, only for them to fall out of the top 20. It's a system that needs to be thought of carefully. especially where in the early days in MLS, especially, you know, people plunk down, you know, serious money to get a franchise up and running. Philadelphia Union, the guy used a credit card to get the stadium in existence, okay? So think of what would happen if, you know, those guys, okay, they will never attend for MLS Cup for quite some time. We're maybe going back a decade. They're 90 minutes away from winning the U.S. Open Cup, and I wish them all the luck in the world. But frankly, that's their championship season, which is fine, you know, which is fine to them. But when you're talking about, you know, teams with moolah or a lot of deep pockets like Red Bull, this also raises the expectation that the fans have right now that we shouldn't be just, you know, winning games. We should be winning championships. But what about the teams right. that can't catch up to the big boys? What should they do?
That's true.
How are they going to do that? You know, you can't have, you know, part of why it's I say that in the first place, you have to have development across the board for pro rel to happen.
Right.
You and I have endless discussions about that. And we're both in agreement. Second, facilities. They got to be up and running. And what I mean by facilities, I certainly don't mean a rented track field at a high school or maybe a small JUCO college, you know, somewhere out there, something of their very own. You have to convince the top flight that you're serious, that once you get in, you want to stay in, and you want to force the issue to the other teams that can't keep up. This is what Pro Rel does. It creates an open system. But when you have a closed system like MLS, there's no fear. There's no worry of a team dropping to dead last with serious consequences. I'm a romantic of that. Maybe that'll happen down the road. But I agree with you 110%. That cannot happen unless you have a system in place that ensures that the lower teams will be solvent even if they drop. Because I promise you,
that's right.
If there's nothing in place, and especially after all the money that they have spent just to get into the party, one bad season they're out of the party, next thing you know, they'll be like the Rochester Rhinos and they'll be out of business. That's a tragedy.
That is a tragedy, and hopefully it's only that 1 year of hiatus this year that they'll only be gone for. Hopefully they will be back for 2019, that's for sure. Gary, thank you again, as always. I appreciate you coming on. I hope to see you feel better. What was the surgery for, anyway? I didn't know you were away for surgery.
Calcium deposits in my knees and in my heel. It was really,
bone spurs.
Yeah, it was really tough walking around. I couldn't run for trains and buses, so it's nice to be able to take those steps and not in the running speed yet, but it's nice to be able to take those steps pain free.
All right, good to hear that. Well, you should have asked me to help you with those trip to the train station in Montclair over those two nights. I would have helped you out.
Yeah, I'm strong enough to handle it. We'll see each other in Montclair.
All right.
Have a great show,
man. All right. I'll see you when I get to Montclair. All right. You too. Thank you very much. Gary Redmond, who runs the New York Red Bulls discussion group website. The Facebook page on Facebook. Great to have him. The words of Bradley Wright Phillips.
Congratulations. Your 100th league goal in your career here in MLS. Just talk through us about when the moment happened. That's when you put it in.
Yeah, it's kind of lucky. Yeah, I didn't hit the best, and you know, the keeper just let it through. I think his arms, I haven't watched it back, but yeah, I'm obviously happy. Not just to score 100 goals, but to do it for this club, it's like, means a lot to me. They gave me a chance, you know.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the ball that Kaku did here, because I mean, just
normal service resumed. You know what to get. You know what you're going to get from Kaku, I think. When he's got time and space, if you make a decent enough run, he's probably going to find you. Today he did again. Yeah, thank you for that.
Where did the idea for the number 100 jersey come from?
Yeah. Well, at first I had like a undershirt, you know, where you wear under your shirt, and I wanted to put 100 for 99. And I got here and I was like, Sean, did you bring that shirt? Sean Maurice, Kate Manor. He was like, no, I've got a better. I was like, what? He said, I've got a better one. So he showed me, he told me what it was. I still wasn't sure on him. When he showed me the actual shirt, and I said, yeah, this could work. Kind of clever. And then, you know, I was just thinking, please let me get lucky enough to score, because I wanted to show the traveling fans, you know, their jerseys. So it was nice.
Was it a little warm underneath?
It was kind of warm. I just had to fight through it. It was kind of warm.
Were you anxious a little bit then to just sort of get that shot out? Because it felt like...
Yeah. I wouldn't normally I don't think I normally shoot, but it's where I took a bad touch. I then thought I could shoot through, like, legs, you know. Normally when you take a bad touch, the keeper's not really set. So I thought if I just get a shot off, then I've got a chance.
Do you think that the team was just a little bit maybe extra motivated coming into this game? Obviously, there's a lot of motivations with DC, the Atlantic Cup, but maybe just that goal was that extra bit that got the team off to a good start.
I don't think so. I don't think that would have been going for that, because me, as soon as I scored it, I was like, thank God, I don't have to talk about this anymore. You know, I just don't have to read anything on social media, so I don't think the boys would have been thinking about it. I think, obviously, coming here, it's a tough game, and they got a new stadium. Fans are excited, so it's always going to be hard to play them, so we just knew we needed to be our best.
This rivalry has been, you know,
overshadowed.
What were you going to say?
Overshadowed?
Not overshadowed, but I was going to say it went one way for a very long number of years. It's kind of gone another way of late, and it almost coincides identically with your arrival here. You know, you guys have like 9 wins out of 15 or 16 in all since you've arrived here.
Yeah, I was going to say, since I've been here, I don't remember losing to them 2 minutes. I don't want to jinx it. By the way, I'm not saying that's because of me. I'm not saying that, but I don't remember losing to them too many times. And that's good, you know.
But what does this fixture mean to you?
Yeah, as soon as I got here, that was the only rival we had, really. That was the only rival that I knew about. I heard about some of the history, how long they've had the rivalry. So from when I got here, I knew it was a big game and a game you have to be up for. And I think any players that come in, I knew it, they get told, whether it's by a fan or a player or the coach. So the guys know what it means. And I think in our derby games or like rivalries, we tend to do well.
Does it mean anything to hit this benchmark, you know, with a guy who kind of is the face of England strikers for a decade in Wayne Rooney in attendance?
Not really. Like, I'm one of his biggest fans. It's nice that I, you know, shared a picture with him today, but it doesn't really mean anything. You know, there's nothing my 100 goals can say to his whole career. The guy's a legend, so not really enough.
With all the keepers you've scored against, obviously Ustedt has always given you problems.
He's good, man. Even stopped today, I'm still thinking about that chance. I think I should have chipped him. But
last week I thought
that maybe they saw that and was expecting it. But yeah, he's a good keeper. He's annoyed me a few times.
Just this game, it seemed like there was, you know, DC's been talked about as a team that even though despite their record, they have a lot of, you know, good threats on that team. What made them challenging today for you guys?
I think the most challenging part was towards the end. I really think that we played well, especially first half. We played well. We created chances, and I've been critical of our attackers lately because I don't think we've created enough clear-cut chances. And today we did, and we've got to do better to finish them. But I don't think they had too much until the end, you know. And they're obviously going to have a wave of attacks towards the end. They're pushing the game. They're at home. But overall, we dealt with it okay. But they are a good team.
Do you feel like it was almost the last week's game reversed a little bit with you guys sort of being the away side, having the first half, but the difference being obviously the goal that you guys got?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. I'm not really too sure. I just know that we knew what we had to do today. We needed a good start, and it was more than that. The first half was really good. I think second half we got to control the game a bit better and not give up so many chances. But I think we deserve that.
I know you said your happiness in reaching this benchmark, not so much for you, but for the club and for the fans. What do you think it does mean for the club to have this in history?
I don't know. I think it maybe tells us about wasn't a waste of money. I'm not really sure. That's something you'd have to ask, you know, the fans or, you know, the backroom staff. I just know for them giving me the chance, it's just, if you can give anything back, this is a nice thing to give back, you know, consistency, and you know that I'm not just coming here to chill out.
Brad, when you came to this league, obviously you had a great teammate in Thierry,
and
you've had plenty of great teammates, Sasha, Kaku. It felt like that first season, you got 27 goals, but a lot of the talk was around Thierry. When did you feel like you got the respect league-wide that you have now?
A couple weeks ago, maybe. A few weeks ago. I think whenever you're playing with someone like Thierry Henry, I don't think I'm the only person that's had that problem. I think the guys he's an amazing, he's a world beater. So whoever's playing with him, he's always going to get the limelight because he's a top player. It wasn't really an issue for me. I prefer, me, my personality, I prefer to go under the radar. So it wasn't a problem, but I don't know when I really...
Because you go back to like 2015, 2016, yeah. It was the Rebels, they don't have a system,
I'm not sure. I don't know how much respect I get now. To be totally honest, I'm not too bothered. Honestly, I'm not too bothered.
Have you heard from your dad at all?
Pardon?
Have you heard from your dad at all?
Not yet, but I'm hoping there'll be a message maybe, but I'm not sure.
He definitely tweeted about it.
He did?
Yeah.
He loves the tweet, yeah.
One more question, guys.
Well, I was going to ask you this, because I told this to Jesse. When you were in England, none of the clubs you've played for, you've had a combination of 77 goals.
Okay.
And here it's 100.
77?
77. That was the research I did.
Yeah.
And now you have
100. It's not bad for a terrible player.
No, it's not bad at all. But still, though, you've got 100 goals here, and it's almost 5.5 in MLS. I mean, that must say something about how you've been able to tear up the pitch here in the U.S.
Like I said in many interviews, when I came here, I felt like it was almost my last chance to really get this thing a go. And I put my head down, I listened to guys like Jerry, and right now it's paying off.
Bradley Wright Phillips talking about his big evening over at Audi Field, and just an amazing night for Bradley, because that man deserves everything that he has worked hard for to get what he basically shows every night on the pitch. He goes after it. He attacks it. And he just shows it every single time. Every single time. Whenever he has the ball at his feet, or when he runs at the ball and puts it away. Just an amazing player for what he has shown. Amazing to see. Outside of the goal, a fantastic hard-fought victory for the New York Red Bulls as they go out and just dominate the game in the first half. They did show some tired legs out there. It's a short turnaround, obviously, but that second half, they played very defensively. They tried to sneak in a second goal. David Ustedt was very difficult, very tough. But at the end of the match, the New York Red Bulls were victorious. They won it 1-0. VAR in the 28th minute helps the Red Bulls remove the DC equalizer, as Paul Areola was definitely in an offside position to receive that opportunity, and he buried it. But sadly, VAR said offside, and it was offside. So let's go ahead and talk to the one and only, the head coach of the New York Red Bulls, from his audio, and that is Chris Armas.
On the win, what did you see out there to hold off DC United's challenge more in the second half than in the first half?
Yeah, the first thing I would say is what a day to celebrate Bradley Wright Phillips. You know, he's obviously a club legend, but we've all been privileged to whoever spent some time around him. And this is my fourth year with him, so to just be part of his 100th goal, that it comes in a bit of a derby match and a meaningful one on the road, so it's a big one for him. So I'm really happy for Brad. So. Look, I mean, like you said, I mean, we knew DC was at halftime, we talked about them throwing a lot of numbers. Naturally, 4-1, 4-1, they get a lot of numbers up the field, and we had to make some adjustments, but for the most part, we were able to deal with it. Inevitably, they sneak through a few times, a couple of giveaways on our end, a couple of plays that they put together, and a couple of little random balls behind them. We were some difficult moments, but our guys stuck with it.
When Wayne Rooney was subbed into the match, that back line of yours, they really were stout. They played very hard defensively. They made sure that at least someone was on him and got the ball away.
He can hurt you in many ways. And the recovery runs of our guys and the urgency that we showed is what was needed. He's such a clever player. He flirts with the line. He gets underneath and can pass. So trying to limit the space that he had was always going to be important. We just weren't sure if we'd see him from the start today, but I thought the guys did a good job.
I know Bradley's really kind of a mild-mannered, modest guy, but obviously this is going to mean a lot to anybody hitting the century mark in the league, and kind of doing it in this stage, I'm sure, means a lot too. Can you say what it means? What do you think it means, not only to him, but what it means to this club to have him do so much?
What it means to the club is the success that the club has had. It's so largely due to Brad. But the goals are only part of the story. You know, when you have guys like him in the locker room, it raises the standard of everything. When he speaks, and he doesn't, he's not a guy of many words. But he does command the locker room and the video room, and people listen. And he's so well respected because of how he shows up every day and the work that he puts in. So that's the first part. You know, and listen, you know, the amount of one goal games that we have, even look at this season, how many game winners he has and big goals he scores. You can talk for a while about what he means to the club on and off the field.
Chris, could you put into context a game like this, your first Atlantic Cup as head coach? Bradley Wright Phillips gets his 100th goal in 80 seconds, and then you still have a game to win, monsoon conditions, you have to wait an hour and a half to get on the field. I mean, just kind of describe what this game is like for you.
Well, it's only a little bit of a speed bump before the game. We thought we'd get it in, and we did. So for us, when it was time to go, we went, and it was not much of a distraction. In terms of the game itself, it's he sees they're feisty, and they commit numbers up the field. They have dangerous attackers. They have guys that come underneath. They have, you know, dealing with Assad, who can run behind, and Acosta coming underneath, and guys that park themselves in your back line, it's just difficult. So in the right moments, trying to keep spaces tight was going to be important. And then we had to manage it as the game went, with fresh legs in the wide spots to do some of the work, because they would overload wide areas. So for me, it was another day at the office. So it was a fun game. It was obviously great with 3 points.
It's your first time here to the stadium. I know you said before this match that you thought this would feel like a different kind of trip than the trip to RFK felt like. Afterwards, you know, maybe a little different because of the delay and the rain, but what do you feel like this place feels like?
Yeah, I've said to many of the DC United, you know, people that I've known for a long time, just it's so good to see them have a stadium. And just wish real congratulations to so many of the faces that I've seen, you know, almost 20 years now, just who've done so many special things and really built a culture, you know, maybe second to none, with the trophies early on and really put themselves on the map. So to see that was a special night. It inevitably it just feels very different from RFK. You don't even realize it's a little bit strange, but it's a beautiful stadium. The field played amazingly, and I'm glad that I was part of one of the early games here.
The celebration, the jersey, did the team know about it? I mean, what was your thought about the celebration for the goal?
I didn't think much about the celebration in that moment. I almost didn't. Really, like, the soccer game didn't matter for that second. I just was so happy for Brad. Just so happy for him in that moment. And he doesn't really like the attention. Obviously, he planned a little something there. But he's so much about giving the credit and his teammates and all. But in that moment, it was so much about Brad and just having a moment just to enjoy watching him just kind of take some credit for a second.
You know, it's almost strange also to see him do that, given the kind of personality that he is.
It is. He's a guy that puts his head down with credit. He doesn't really like, he's uncomfortable with it. So we sometimes force it on him, you know, and the guys wanted to hear him give a speech, didn't really want to, but he talked to the guys and just thanked them. He's incredible, guys. We won't see many guys like this in the history of the league or sport. He's a gem.
Just the selflessness that he has. I mean, being a guy who's an all-star leader on the team, but do you think that just comes from his time in England, just sort of having to go from Manchester City to the lower leagues? It's just sort of this uniqueness about him.
You know, he could play anywhere. He could play in any league in his career. He could have stayed in England and we would have kept scoring goals, but we were blessed, you know, to have him in our league. And yeah, I honestly, truly don't think he gets enough credit. I really don't. And I'm not the only one who believes that. You know, people know that he can score, but he's a superstar. He is a superstar. But, you know, he'll room with a young guy, he'll hang around with young guys, the old guys, he's just a real special individual. And in terms of the football, MLS is, and the Red Bulls are fortunate that have had some good years with him and more to come.
Were you shocked it came that quickly and that early, in the second minute?
Am I shocked that Bradley Raphael scores a goal like
not
that?
Really.
No, but that's, it's no. I mean, think about, put yourself in Brad's head coming in. He doesn't want to sit on 99. He wants to score, get it over with. And so, funny, like, I bet he willed himself to that goal. He just willed himself to it. He didn't want to sit on it, got his goal, and now he can 101 is next.
Chris Armas, head coach of the New York Red Bulls, as he is just fantastically feeling great after a performance like that and doing well. How about some of the tweets going on Twitter? His father, Ian Wright, tweets, "So proud of you, BWP99. Three hearts, three tearful faces of joy. What a moment. This journey started as trial, and today you have written your name in the MLS history books. 100, 100, 100, and the American flag." His brother, Sean Wright Phillips, over in Mesa, Arizona. "So proud of my brother, BWP99, on reaching 100 goals and making MLS history. Great journey and well-deserved, little big bro at Mesa, Arizona." Of course, some of his teammates who are currently injured, obviously, Florian Vallot. Big win in D.C., proud of the guys, red and white, massive achievement for an amazing player, BWP, hashtag 100, nobody deserves it better, proud and honored to play and learn every day from such a player. And how about Taylor Twellman? "Congrats to Bradley Wright Phillips, BWP99, for his 100th MLS regular season, impressively done in 159 games, bravo my man. Hashtag MLS, hashtag DC versus Red Bull New York, RBNY. Former teammate Dax McCarty, build the man a statue." Roger Bennett from the Men in Blazers, "Simply put, the greatest Englishman in New York sports history. You are a legend, Bradley Wright Phillips." And of course, there's also a highlight video of all of his current and former teammates, including his father, his brother, his wife and children, Thierry Henry, and some of his other teammates out there, Chris Armas. Sadly, no Jesse Marsh, but that's okay. We're sure Jesse's going to say something on a separate video, hopefully through Red Bulls. It's going to be absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable when he goes deeper into his MLS career, and he'll just keep on going, keep on scoring. And it's just going to be a fun time. A fun time when Bradley Wright Phillips continues to prove he is one of the best players in this league. 100 league goals, plus 18 in all competitions, now at 118 in all competitions. Bradley Wright Phillips is just absolutely one of the better players here in MLS. It was an honor for me to watch it live at Audi Field, having to be in the press box on that side of the field to watch him bury it through the wickets, nutmegs Frederick Brilliant, and he beats David Oosted as well, who caught it late, got an arm down but not all the way through, and the only goal of the match is a historic goal as Bradley Wright Phillips now becomes, once again, the fastest player in MLS history to score 100 goals in league play at 159 official league matches on the date of Wednesday, July the 25th of 2018. It's just been spectacular. I want to thank my guest tonight, Gary Redman from the New York Red Bulls discussion group, the Facebook page, for joining me on discussion. My name's Daniel Feuerstein. Join me this coming Monday night for another regular Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. I'll talk to you then. Take care, so long, and bye-bye for now.